All right, so we're about to get ready to start recording.
All right,
you can go ahead and do what you have to do. Mm-hmm. What's up, everybody? We are tuning in with Conversations with Yvonne.
Say it again.
Blog and podcast.
Yes, one more time. One time.
Yes,
and
sir.
We have a very special guest today. Today we have Damien Hype, who is an international artist.
Welcome,
Damien. Yes, sir.
Let them know what it is, Damien.
Yeah, let them know. Yours truly, Damien Hype, you know, straight from Jamaica, living in Memphis about 13 years. So, I could get it going, though.
Thaddeus Cram. Let them know what it is, Thaddeus.
Thaddeus Cram, a.k.a. your main man, the hardest working businessman, dad, the watchman. And, of course, if you didn't know that, you either don't know me or you haven't heard, but we're going to give you the word. But anyway, let's...
Absolutely. Let's get it on and crack it. And let me tell you who I am. I'm your girl, Khadiji Vaughn, the conversationalist guru, the psychology guru, the psychology and mental health
Big
professional,
facts.
The book author, the business owner, the chick that is in this,
like the HBIC, you know what I'm talking about.
Y'all know what I gotta do around here. Y'all know what's up, KD, the Barbie cat. Let me tell you something, boo. I don't even know what to call myself, because when you work hard so hard, you don't even know what to call yourself.
Believe it or achieve it. I'm gonna shout out all my people that's tuned in right now.
All
my live people that's tuned in, they came in pretty quickly. Let me shout out all the Black business owners out there. We have yet another Black business owner in the building with us today, and we will be having several discussions with him as well.
The
primary subject of our discussion today, everybody, is the mental health of us as business owners, because
Absolutely.
when you have a passion for what you do, and when you take it as seriously as we do,
as
it can have a, it can take a toll if you don't do it in moderation, like me and Khadija spoke about earlier. It can take a toll on your body, your mind, your spirit, your attitude. But it can be pros and cons to it. So it's not always a bad thing. It's a great thing that we go hard for our businesses, you
Absolutely.
Know? Because, you know, effort gives us the best results.
The best results.
So we're going to discuss, and anybody that can relate, y'all free to drop y'all comments. If it's anything in your field, because we all in different atmospheres and things like that. So if it's anything in your field in particular that caused you any amount of stress or any type of just fatigue on your body, that's what we want to talk about today. And we want to try to help each other to become better, because we're not perfect either. You know,
and we found that out yesterday on our last episode. How we always try to put people in the center field.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
It's been a week.
And let me tell you something. If you're on here right now, go ahead and hit that share button. I know a lot of you are about to get ready and start your weekends, because I'm already starting my weekend, boo.
Oh, she getting hers already. Oh, and before we get started, I would like to send a shout out to today's sponsor, Sonic. I'm laying my ass off.
Because that burger, we're gonna
manifest that, though.
That's the truth. Trey said he already talked about some mental health of a business owner. He said truck driving been the issue, but today we're really gonna get into the mental health of a business owner. And like I said, for everybody that's watching, if you're on here, go ahead and share that. We have a guest in here today. We have international rapper Damien Hype, who is also one of the owners of Evelyn and Olive Downtown Memphis, who got them fired.
Man. Very fired.
Oxtails.
Very, very.
Shout out to Evelyn and Olive.
Go ahead.
It's all authentic.
All authentic.
Straight up.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody in the kitchen, Jamaican.
That's
everybody. But
you know, they be
the
doing
most
some Jew faking.
Yeah.
Hey, we have one of the owners here. I'm telling you, this amazing restaurant. I visited several times myself. The food is amazing. The energy there is authentic.
Thank you.
If you want a piece of Jamaica in Memphis, you
got
to go to Evelyn and Olive. I'm trying
to
get the real feel.
Because
this is Jamaican, not the Jafakin. That's, you know what I'm talking about?
So,
it ain't Jamaican. It's not Jamaican. It's not
It's the real deal. You know?
So what kind of cup you drinking out of right there, Damien? Show them your cup.
So right now I'm drinking out of the EW. You know what? These cups are dope. And I don't know if it's a wine glass or a teacup, but it drinks wine out of it too.
Whatever you want it to be, that's what it is.
Whatever you want it to be, that's what it is.
Hey, put some of that Jamaican soap out of age. That's another
you know
shout out to
Jamaican rum, though.
Some of that rum and Red Bull.
They got Jamaican soda up in there.
All right, let's go ahead and get to cracking up inside of the subject that we're going to talk about today. Like we said, CWE is a lifestyle and entertainment blog, podcast, and entrepreneurship platform. Right. And we also focus on the mental health of low poverty communities as well as entrepreneurs.
Right.
So like we said, today we're going to talk about the mental health of the entrepreneur.
Yes.
So let me tell you something, guys. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Everybody wants to be someone who said, hey, I'm going to get out here and do this. I'm going to have a big time business.
Right.
But they really don't know what's the background of really being an entrepreneur and a hard time worker.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into what it really is.
Yes.
So if you guys don't mind, can Yvonne go ahead and start this thing on?
Hey,
us?
Go ahead.
So
go
is everybody on live letting their people know what's up?
Know shout all out to right, everybody so that's tuned in right now. We're about to get into this
if
thing.
If you want here, go ahead and share. So I want to talk about my experience as an entrepreneur.
Okay.
So I'm going to be very raw and honest. Mm-hmm. Okay. So people always want to expect you to be the woman, to be the lady. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to have some thick skin,
mm-hmm.
some thick skin, yeah. not just for people that's coming into your business every day, but for yourself. You have to have that thick skin.
Right.
And the thick skin that I did not have is understanding what it really took to be an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Everybody want to be an entrepreneur until it's time for you to be up at 5 or 6 o'clock
exactly,
in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my yeah. God. Okay. Let's start with talking about when I first started my hat company. Okay, it was just me. You are your marketer. You are your content specialist.
Your publicist.
Your publicist.
Everything.
You are your the person that's shipping your boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You everything.
Your worker.
Logistics.
Everything.
You're everything. You're everything. Logistics. Everything.
Man, all of it.
But people don't want to talk about the real of it when you're depressed because stuff you feel like stuff is not going the way you want it to go and
right.
you're crying. Go ahead.
But you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
but
no,
I
no,
feel like
ahead.
The mental stress starts before that.
It does.
Yes.
Because
it does.
Here you go. You're thinking about abandoning
about a
secured income
yes, sir.
To that's, provide for yourself.
Ooh,
that's
dang.
A stress in its own.
It
you
is.
Know
that's
what
one.
I'm saying?
That's a good
that's
one.
That's a stress in its
it
own.
That's a stress
so,
of its own.
So I feel like it starts before.
Yeah. And uh-huh. I'm glad you said that. Then. Let me take this time out to shout out everybody that's really taking their full leap. I understand. Always wait until the timing is right. Don't let us pressure you or don't let society pressure you. Always make the decision when the timing is right.
But when is the right time?
When you feel it's right.
And that's the point, right?
When you
because
feel it's right.
I had a friend of mine. We worked together for years. He's a comedian. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Ambrose Jones, yo. Big up anywhere you at. I admire that kid because I used to be I went from a senior operations manager position
mm-hmm.
to decide, hey, I'm going to fend for myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, while I have a family that is dependent on me. Mm-hmm. That's just an additional stress on its own, right?
Right, right.
You're coming from, I'm sure, every 2 weeks, what my paycheck is going to be
mm-hmm.
versus I don't know what I'm going to bring in now, right?
Right.
And this guy, he took the leap of faith. It took him a while, you know, to decide, hey, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give this a shot. But I feel like that's where it starts.
Yeah.
How do you position yourself?
Right.
There's never, I don't feel like there's ever a perfect time,
no, it's not.
To be
and
honest.
It I ain't going to lie to you, man. It takes a lot of courage to take,
takes,
you know.
And that's what
to,
it is.
To have it, because I'm going to tell you where I come from, right? From the beginning, I mean, I've done it all. The fast food, the warehouse, I done worked in laboratories, retail, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, when you remove that security from your life, that alone is
it's
stressful.
Yeah.
Because you got a guaranteed check coming to you every week or every 2 weeks or whenever it may be. So you literally removing that security from your life and just saying, hey, I'm putting my whole faith, I'm putting my livelihood in my hands.
And then not to mention the people around you that is saying, are you sure about this?
Right. They can scare you.
You see what I'm saying?
They'll
are you
scare
sure
you.
About this?
Are you sure about doing it?
Yeah.
That's what stops a lot of people.
Hey, I don't think hot selling like that.
Right.
Hey, you in Memphis, you're trying to put a Jamaican
right.
culture in a city that is not accustomed to that.
Right.
You sure about that?
And
right.
let me ask you this, Damien.
Right.
Just flex for the people on town. Hey, how's business going?
Oh, business is going good. hey, you know what? And I'm gonna give a shout out to Memphis in itself,
in
right?
Town, stand up.
For 2 years, Jamrock opened, mm-hmm. the club opened up, and while we had traffic, it wasn't enough to fill a venue up,
right?
You know, and there was times where, like I said, you know, it's a family business, so you know, I'm talking with my dad, my stepmom, and everyone is concerned.
Right.
Hey, why we don't consider just using it as a rental mm-hmm. venue? No, that is not my vision. That's
right.
not what I want. And we sitting there one night, me and my friend of mine. And it was a Friday night. We had just started up Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just empty in there. I'm talking about a depressing, like, open, nice venue that is just empty. We can't put people in there.
Right.
And we sat outside, like Khadijah was just explaining earlier, right? When you're your own owner,
yeah.
everything is your responsibility.
Right.
Promotion, marketing, the whole nine yards.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Did it bother y'all at all, or was it like a fear or concern of yours? Even though it's not too many, it's really none. No authentic Jamaican restaurants here in Memphis, but it's a lot of restaurants in general. So did the competition ever bother y'all? Like,
not really, because that's one of the reasons why I stuck with being original. Because the competition that is there is already competing on its own.
Right.
So why would I want to go get mixed up in that same competition? I want to offer something different to Memphis.
Yeah.
And that's why I told you, like I was saying, 2 years we run. The restaurant was doing okay. The restaurant was picking up, but we bought an existing business.
Right.
So therefore, whatever negative reviews that was out there already, we had to overcome those.
Right.
You know, but I feel like it was also a blessing because they had a, you know, kind of like a reliable clientele that will constantly show up.
Right.
So we were able to inherit that clientele and then build on that.
And y'all got some great product in there, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all got some great. I was like, from my first visit, I knew I wanted to go back. So I can imagine that old crowd that was used to the other business, they come in there and they give your business a shot.
And you know what? Believe it or not, some people was not happy that we changed the menu. Like, there were some things we took off the menu. And, you know, but there was... The Jamaican side of the menu was never really the primary focus in the previous owner's business model.
Right.
That's ours because that's what we represented. This is what we've been offering at every party we threw throughout the city for 10 years.
So what was your personal biggest fear in regards to the beginning of the business? Like, what scared you the most?
Like I said, it's people is people in the city being open-minded enough to try it. I've always said, all it took was for you to try it to know you're going to like it.
Right.
Versus goat. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to get a lot,
And then it's crazy because I got a personal friend of mine that works with me. And it was funny because I had a little get together at my house and I cooked some food, everything I cooked by myself. And he came over and I fixed him a plate. And he was like, "What's this?" I said, "Bro, just try it." He's like, "What's this?" I said, "Just try it." And he tried. He said, "Man, you gave me nothing but bones." I said, "You just ate some goat." The man said, "Goat?" I said, "I ain't going to lie, though. It's sure good." You know what I'm talking about? So I've always said it just took, try it.
Yeah.
Don't say you don't like it. How you going to know if you don't like something if you never tried it?
Right.
Now, I get it. I'm like that, too. I'm very picky. You know what I mean? It's not everything. The culture is different. We ain't grew up in the same culture. We wasn't brought up in the same culture. So, therefore, some things that you're, like, real comfortable with, like, you can't give me no frog legs to eat. Right. I've seen the frogs in Jamaica. I'm like, hell no. I'm not eating no frog legs.
Nah, I ain't going to lie to you. And I'll be trying to do new that one right there. I can't.
You see what I'm saying? So I get it. I get it. There's restrictions. There's people. And then the more I actually talk to close friends or people that actually try the food, I get to figure out what their reservations are. Mm-hmm. You know, some people it's like a texture thing. I don't like the texture of that. I don't like how it, you know, I don't like the taste that it has. So, you know, stuff like that. So it's various things.
Yeah.
But when I was telling you after 2 years, it was up in the air. What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to still plowing out? We're paying bills, but we're not making no money.
Right.
What are we going to do? I sat outside the window of the club one night. And I'm just sitting there. I'm on my phone. I saw on social media just doing random stuff, just browsing. And then here comes Walla. Y'all will know Walla, because Walla is always with me.
Always
with me. And I was like, "Bro, record this video." I gave him my phone, and we just set up some skits, recorded it. Went home the next day, edited it, about 1 p.m., posted it. Within about an hour to 2 hours, it was at 10,000 views.
That's crazy, man.
Within a few days, it was at 40,000 views. I'm like, whoa,
that's crazy.
What's going on? You know, that post right now is sitting at 90-something thousand views now. Man.
And as simple as it was.
And it's ever since that day, the club has never been empty. Has never been empty.
And I got to give y'all a lot of credit.
It took a viral video.
I respect y'all's business because of the diversity there. Like, you would think that, you know, when I first visited, I was thinking to only see black people there.
Oh,
you know,
no. Man,
y'all have a very diverse crowd there. And like you say, it's always packed in there.
But understand where I'm from.
Yeah.
Jamaica invites diversity.
Right.
Right? It's a tourist location. You want to fly there. It doesn't matter what race, what color, where you from. It don't matter what language you speak. As long as you come there, we're going to treat you the same. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I said I would never speak on this, but I was kind of disappointed at one point. We were in the club and there were some girls come through. There's a few white girls that actually came there. And, you know, throughout the night, they came there solo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the night, as someone was recording, they caught one of them, you know, in there, like, just vibing right. with a black guy or whatever. And I thought that this was very positive. We're promoting interracial stuff within, you know, our venue. Like, we want people to feel comfortable. Like, it don't matter what color of skin you are.
Right, right.
We focus on just the vibe, the energy, just to have fun. And they was on me about removing that video from our Instagram page. They're like, hey, we think it's inappropriate. I was like, there's nothing inappropriate with two people having fun.
Right, exactly. And that's all it was.
That's all it was. You know, but it's like, it's how they make it out. Because, bro, to be honest, we didn't grow up, and for Americans that has gone through this tragedy, we all have when it comes to racial discrimination and mm-hmm. so on, right? And that's something that I've never felt comfortable about just openly talking about because I didn't have the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my experience started when I came here.
Yeah,
I didn't know what that was like being in Jamaica.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Because to be honest, bro, whenever we called everyone white. That wasn't black that came to Jamaica. Whether you were Hispanic, whatever race you were, Indian, we call everyone white. That was your skin tone. So, oh, there's some white people. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you want some coconuts? That was our energy towards them. Mm-hmm. We were happy. We were always excited to cater to them. So to come in an environment that shifted, for me, that was a shock.
Right. I can imagine.
That was a shock.
I bet that was a weird experience.
It was. And I really, you know, just to go back to your point, Evelyn and Olive has done a lot of great things throughout the city as far as, you know, influencing cultures to come together. It is not singular.
I love the energy in there. Let me ask you this, since we on the subject of mental health, right? Let's try to help somebody today. What would you say in your personal experience is the most stressful part about what you do and how do you handle it? Like, how do you go about dealing with stress?
So, when I think about it, it's simple, right? It's customer satisfaction, customer retention.
I feel you on it.
That, I feel like, is the primary portion of having a successful business.
Yes, it is.
Is you need to be able to retain your customers, mm-hmm. and you retain your customers through good service and good product.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And then staffing, that could also impact customer, you know,
it's a lot of experience problem right now.
And that's been a struggle. You know, we've been, there are several times we have posted, hey, we need more cooks because it's a Jamaican and Southern restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two sides of the menu. If you want catfish and grits and Jama Jama, you can have that, which is greens, right?
And then
if you just wanted some authentic Jamaican food, then that's also available. So that's what we figured fusion restaurants is better than just going straight up. It's like, hey, you can't ignore where you at. We're in a southern state.
And I think I think that's a great business tactic. You know, you give them something that seems familiar to them already.
Yeah.
And you just never know.
They'll make
you want to try. Like, damn, that was really good. I'm used to that, but that was really good. Let me try something because they're not gonna get the same thing every time they come. It's gonna entice them to want to try something new. It's like now they know you have good product. Let me try something on the other side.
Yeah.
Because when I first visited, I'm not gonna lie to you. I tried my hardest. I said, I'm not about to try nothing that I already had before because it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, it defeats it. Yep.
I wanted to try some authentic Jamaican food, and that's what I did. Yep. You know.
All right, so I feel like y'all taking over my goddamn show. Conversation,
though. Yeah. Good
conversations with Yvonne.
Oh, really?
You know, she got a stick, right? Talk.
Just don't say no damn conversations with just two. And I'm sitting there,
you know how
me
get.
You know how man get.
So let me go ahead and just stop this real quick. They have some great conversation, but we're gonna go ahead and get down to the nitty gritty of what we came to talk about. Now that was some very good conversation, but we want to go into what it really takes to be an entrepreneur.
Yes. What
and the mental health of it. So before we got down to that, I want to talk about the realness, as in house cleaningness.
Mm-hmm.
So have you guys ever experienced that to the point to where you're so busy to the point to where you can't keep up with your own personal life? Mm-hmm. Since you have so many positions in your own, in your business life,
right,
you can't keep up with your personal life. So let's go ahead and go into something about this. So Damian, how is it being an entrepreneur and the fact that you cannot keep up with your own personal life? Because me, even from, I'm going to be honest with you, it's been times where my house is a mess. And they say when your house is a mess, everything else in your life is a mess. And it's like I would sit down and just go crazy. And you know, women, we are emotional. And I'll break down and I'll like cry because I'm like, why do my house look so terrible?
Right.
And it's just because I'm trying to handle stuff here. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to handle stuff with that at the store. I'm trying to handle stuff with just going to school. So let's talk about the real issues of being an entrepreneur and not just, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. This stuff looks easy because it looks easy to everyone. And it's not easy.
So
let's talk about that.
And I'm glad you asked. So I feel like
this house will be a bit too right
now. Look, I honestly feel like money earned from being an entrepreneur is money that is it enables you
right
to make your life and everything else around you a little bit easier. That's it doesn't mean a lot of people are different. You know, they figure, hey, you know what? Whatever I make, it's my profit. I should save that for later.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it takes that reinvestment. And reinvestment is not only reinvesting in the physical part of the business.
Right.
It's reinvesting in yourself as well.
Right.
Right? You have became the face of a business.
Most definitely, yeah.
Khadijah said, how do you keep my house clean? I pay someone to do it. That's what I do. I pay them to do it.
I start doing that as well. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
See, because it's not even being lazy, bro. It's not about being lazy, but sometimes when you do get that break, you want to relax. You know, you want to catch up on a movie. You want to read a book. Whatever is your interest, you want to go for a walk. You want to do something different.
And your home is supposed to be that place of peace. Like, picture if you had, like, one of those crazy days that we can have sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Just busy day, hectic day. You may have had this customer, you know, dissatisfied, or you may have had to argue with somebody and this and that. And you go home, and the one place where you're supposed to go and be serene, and, you know, that place is a mess, too, once you get there.
Exactly.
That can be additional
and that's
stress.
That's what drove my decision to go ahead and pay someone to do it, right?
Yeah.
Now, I guess, here's the thing, right? You wash a load of clothes. Now, first of all, you're not washing as frequent as you used to because you're so busy, right? So you wash a load of clothes. Now you find yourself getting dressed out of your dryer. Not your dresser drawer. Right. Not your closet. Out your dryer. You on the go. So you just go in there, you're grabbing some shit, and then you throw it on and you're gone, right? So, and not only that, but I realized that I was shopping a lot more because, okay, I wore that already. It's not washed yet.
Right.
I don't have the time to go clean
it. Yeah.
So now every Friday and Saturday I'm at the mall. I'm trying to find a shirt, trying to find a pants. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what can I do different? So I was like, okay, I can save more money if I'm rather than shopping every week trying to get a new outfit.
Right.
I'll just pay someone to come clean my house.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
You know? So I feel like the reinvestment part of it is sometimes is what's lacking.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with y'all. Like, this one, and I'm glad you said that. That's a really good point because that's just being honest. Like, that's one of the things I struggle with. Like, I try to literally maintain every aspect of my life. Like, it just eats me up on the inside sometimes just having to delegate something that I know I can possibly control and give that responsibility to somebody else.
Yeah.
They may do a great job, but in my mind, it's just that paranoia would tell me, I would swear up and down, they didn't do it as good as I would have done it.
And that's probably true.
And they may have...
But it's cleaner than what it was.
Exactly. You see what I'm talking about? So that's one thing I'm learning, and I'm glad you mentioned it because I gotta learn because depending on how the business goes, because it's going to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So at some point, there's going to be some delegations got to get sent out.
And sometimes, you know, it's just like the saying, you know, dress for the job you want, not the one you have. So when you start creating this at this level right now, you'll be able to kind of like prepare yourself to maximize at a larger level because now I have things in place. I have someone to help me do this.
Right.
I have someone to do this. I have this person in place, this person in place. Bro, I couldn't have survived during a pandemic without a team.
Yeah.
I couldn't have survived throughout a pandemic without a team.
And it's a lot of a lot of businesses suffering from what you just said. Yeah.
I decided that I would take advantage of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There were still people that wanted entertainment, regardless of everything being shut down.
Right.
Right. So what we did, we provided a private location for people to get come in and do that. But what that private location required was work.
Right.
First of all, it's about 25 minutes, 30 minutes from our previous location.
Right.
That was more convenient. Secondly, it was just a space. It required furniture. Mm-hmm. So now we're moving furniture there. So every night we had to go in there that we opened and set up a full setup.
That's crazy.
I didn't know that was even going on. And I was
exactly.
Let me tell you, hey, look, I didn't even know they had to do all that because, honey, I was in there parlaying.
Oh, parlaying.
And on top of the couches. I went there my birthday. Wait. That's where I went for my birthday. And I didn't even know every night they got a. So they really created experience and just a place to where you had to set up. And that's another thing of the mental health as a business owner. We have to adjust to the adversity that is being thrown us. And the pandemic was really a adversity. Right. I mean, everything shut down.
I feel like it was a test of strength.
Yeah, it was a test of strength. Exactly and you know what? During the pandemic, I was selling hats like it was a nickel bag on the corner.
Yeah, you got to understand, all we had was social media.
That's all we had. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I was selling hats like that still, and I was delivering all those hats. What I mean to tell you, I will order 100 hats and I'll be sold out way before the end of the month.
It's crazy.
So it was so stressful.
There's things you could do that has reverse benefit or unseen benefit initially.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you how important this was. Surviving through the pandemic, using this private location, we posted a flyer. Mm-hmm. There was no address. What it required is, if you wanted to come, I need to send you the address. Or someone on my team needs to send
you
the address.
That's exactly how it was.
You know what that provided? Future promotion. Mm-hmm. All I got to do is take that same address and copy and paste it in my phone, and everyone that I've sent that address to pops up.
Right.
So if I got an event coming up now, I could it's just like people are charging
he
to be a part of text groups and
it's
all
like
that.
Yeah, you build a platform through direct. You was like your own publicist at
this time. Own publicist.
You was his own.
You know what I'm saying?
His own publicist at that time.
Before it leave my brain, y'all, because Khadijah and Damian, they both just made two good points in the same statement. Because the analogy there, like the fact that you went there, you know, you went there just to party. You know, you want to have a good time.
That's all I did. I went there to party.
The thing is,
it wasn't nothing else open.
You said it's an empty night setup, right?
That's a setup.
I knew that was open.
I want to make that because a lot of people don't understand the concept of that. The work that goes in behind, you know what I'm saying? Because when
you
got there,
behind the scene, what you don't see.
Right, what you don't see.
Make sure you share this post.
She went there to have a good time. When she got there, everything was set.
Everything was ready to go.
And didn't know that there was a.
Well, I'm going to tell you the genius portion behind it. I come from a lean manufacturing background.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest things is all about standardization and sustaining, right? So after you have gone through and you did all the work to create your concept, you need to standardize it and sustain it from that point
That's the truth, yes.
Yeah. And what I did was,
a system.
When you come in there, my guy sets it up the exact same way every night.
So you wouldn't
even know. You would think
you'd
never move.
You wouldn't even know. And he did. Let me tell you something, because, baby, I was in there. I was in there standing on the couches. And I'm going to tell you something. It looked the exact same way.
That is crazy. That's what you call a system right there.
It was a system. And you know what? Let's go into systems and goals when it comes to mental health as well.
Please.
Because your systems mean a lot when it comes to you being a business owner. So I was reading this book that called Make Your Bed. Have you guys heard the book for business owners called Make Your Bed?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so when you read that book, it talk about goals and systems. So what's up, Lofton? Lofton said, and we live. Make sure you share this for me, Lofton.
Yeah.
So I was reading this book, and they say that you can set as many goals as you want, whatever you want. You can write it on paper all day. But if you do not have a proper system
to achieve it,
to achieve those goals, they will not be achieved.
Right.
And what we mean by systems as business owners to protect our mental health, we have to create schedules. We have to create a list of goals. We have to create things from brainstorming and et cetera, like the system I just showed you today, in order for us to reach those goals.
Yeah.
So people think there's waking up every day, oh, you're an entrepreneur. All you got to do is sell. No, it comes with a whole lot more. Every day you're thinking like, hey, I want to give up. This is probably something that I really don't want to do.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the times when we possibly wanted to give up. So was there a time that one of you really, particularly in you, Damian, that you wanted to give up and be like, you know what, forget this, I'm done. I just want to go back to a regular life. I don't want to, but you don't want to let that go because you're like, this makes me who I am. It's mine.
And you know what? I'm going to go back before I was on a full entrepreneur where I actually just focus on my own business, right? There has never been a time that I wanted to give up. Never.
Man, that's strong. That's a strong statement right there.
There has never been a time that I wanted to give up. And I'm going to tell you guys why. I'm going to give you guys several reasons why I should have given up, but never did. Into my vision and my passion. And when we weren't connecting, we started having conflict.
Yeah.
And it took me a point to realize, okay, you know what? I'm going to have to just go ahead and push this on my own.
Yeah, too.
And I moved from locations to locations to locations, dealing with grimy, shady owners, all of this. Like, I've went through it.
And they're there. Okay. Don't think they're not there. They're there.
You know?
Yes, they are.
I went through it all. Listen, there was a point where I have a friend of mine. He's in Nashville. Shout out to One Swag, yo, and One Swag Entertainment out of Nashville.
Shout out to One Swag.
Yeah, shout out to One Swag. That boy right there, he showed me the grind, too. And one day, he sat me down. He said, bro, why y'all ain't taking advantage of the Memphis market? You know what I'm saying? You're doing an event once a year. I would only do my birthday. Midnight Toast was my only event every year.
Right.
He said, why are you not taking advantage of the Memphis market? Do more. I said, bro, they not really messing with it. You get me? I'm getting most of the people that showed up to my event is mostly Americans. Dude, right now, I'm about 95% Americans.
As far as your consumers? Or?
As far as my consumers. Oh, okay. People that are actually supporting what I'm doing now, which is a great feeling to me because I've pride myself as an artist. I do crossover genre.
Right.
I try to make my music more on an international scale, where it don't matter what race, what culture you're from, you can vibe to it. I have songs that include Spanish. I have songs that include African language. I have songs that include proper English, Jamaican English, if you want to call it that. And it's just, you got to make yourself marketable.
Yes.
One of my cousins, when I decided I wanted to pursue music, you know what she told me?
What she tell you?
She said, don't put yourself in a pocket. Don't be bracketed as a particular artist.
And that happens a lot.
Yes.
People will categorize you.
Don't be an R&B. Right. Don't be a rap. Don't be a trap artist.
Use every talent.
Be a diverse,
you have in
you, man. Yeah.
Because you never know which door is going to open for
you. You never know which door is going to open for you. But think about it. If you're just a hot dog cooker, that's all people come to you for is hot dogs.
Right.
That's all you provide. But if you offer jerk chicken, and I, in this case, jerk chicken.
Big flicks. You know what I'm talking about? Shout out to Evelyn and
Jerk
Olive.
Chicken, oxtail, curry goat. So it's like, oh, I got options.
Right, exactly.
You know, what do you do with those options? Yes, it's up to you. But now I gave you options.
Right.
So if you don't feel for hot dog today, you can still come here.
Right.
Because I don't have just hot dogs.
Exactly. Yeah. I got more than hot dogs.
You know,
same way you play a mixture of different music at your location.
Same way I play a bunch of different music.
Yeah, I
got to
give y'all credit. Y'all music is amazing there. Like,
because
you've been there at nighttime before?
No, yeah. I never even knew it was a club. I never knew that. I thought it was
honey, I knew it was a club, honey, because you probably was in that thing.
I never knew.
I knew it was a club.
So Khadijah.
Not turned down.
So
turned down for what?
I want to bring it back a little bit because you asked a really good question.
What?
About giving up.
Exactly.
And a lot of people, since my years of working in manufacturing environment, I've seen a lot of people to quit and come back to work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's coming up 2 years now. I haven't worked a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And I give thanks every day. But I've also put myself in a position where every single day I make money.
The way to it, man.
Every single day I make money. I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and I said, bro, it's 11 o'clock. How much money you made today?
Wow.
He said he hasn't made no money. I said, I made $90 today.
Right.
And he's like, how? You ain't even left your house. Because it's not about where you at.
Right.
It's what you're doing.
What you're doing.
You know what I'm saying?
She said systems. You got systems in place. To where you can make money from wherever you are.
Wherever
system,
you are.
That system is important because as an entrepreneur, if you don't have a system it's really not about money with us. It's about our passion.
Yes.
That the simple fact, if you don't have a system, your passion will die.
Right.
But the thing about entrepreneurs, our passions is what keeps us going.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if we're not passionate about, we're not hustlers.
No.
We're not. Mm-hmm. We care about our businesses. We care about what we're doing. We care about what we're presenting to the community.
Right.
And that's why we work so hard on all areas of our business. So if you don't care about your business, are you really an entrepreneur? Yeah. Or are you just a hustler trying to make it?
And shout out to everybody on my live too, checking in. I know y'all commenting on stuff.
Yeah.
And your passion will definitely reflect on
your
business.
Your passion reflects on it.
Because we can tell. We may not always announce it, but you can tell who's passionate about what they do.
And you know what? That's the people who are really going to shop with you when you're passionate about what you do and you're putting your best foot forward.
Right.
Because if you're not passionate about it, that means you're not showing the people your passion. So whatever you're putting out is going to be tip-top trash.
Yeah.
All right.
The passion. Okay.
The passion could be easily disdained.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, sir.
By seeking approvals from others.
That's the truth.
All this
validation.
Validation.
No. You have. Okay. I always tell people. So if someone approached me and they want to do business with me, right? You got to sell me on it. Tell me. What's the benefits?
What's the benefits?
And how is
it gets to that point, though.
Valuable for me, right?
Right. It gets to that point. Someone talked to me about that today, one of my marketing mentors. He said, whatever you do with somebody when you get to a certain level, it has to have some form of value to it.
Yeah.
You don't need to be just out here doing anything with anybody.
It's pointless.
It's pointless.
And then you know what's crazy?
Like, is it building your business or is it hurting your business?
Right.
He even talked about the... something else in regards to mental health, because I had a little run-in with somebody today. It was small, but he talked about people that you really care about who become a part of your business. And he talked about also, like, you have to watch how much energy you put into this person and how much energy you put into these individuals, because once you become an entrepreneur and somebody that really cares about your business, you have to watch what you put forth to them. For instance, your areas, everything that you do, like your office, this is part mm-hmm. of my business. Mm-hmm. It needs to have a spiritual cleanse.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have bad vibes in here. Whatever your business is, he said you need to separate those bad vibes from it, because that's how your business will be crashing down. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the reason why we have to get rid of so many people as we progress.
Yeah.
Even though it hurts us.
You know, and with that energy and everything, it comes with people that thinking they know better,
right?
For your business, what's best for your business?
Lord, no.
So, and I'm gonna put.
Oh my gosh, he hit that right on the head.
Because it's common, right? It's
that's
very
the
common.
Truth. It's very common. It's very common,
and it's always the person that is not in that position
at all.
Right?
Not even
own,
in the vicinity.
They probably don't even own a business
at all.
But I'm gonna tell you this: I've sat in that club, pushing reggae, dancehall, Afrobeat, reggaeton, soca, hip-hop, R&B, and trap.
Right.
Like, the full genre of music.
Yes, sir.
Disco.
Right.
We do it all, right?
Right.
Someone tell me, they said, bro, you in Memphis, bro. Ain't nobody use, and I'm talking like a Memphis person saying this, too. You're in Memphis, bro.
Right.
You get me? Yo, you don't have no choice. You need to play more hip-hop. You need to play more hip-hop. I'm in a perfect example. Saturday night, I'm standing in the club. Uh-huh. She been there before. She know how I be. 9 out of 10 times, I'm in a little corner. I'm chill.
Right.
If somebody need me to do something special, I jump up and do it. But mm-hmm. outside of that, I'm chill. Or I'm on the mic. Ooh. I'm hyping the party up. Guy said, turn me up one time. I said, that's what we doing now. He like, nah, play some trap. Bro, you know where you at?
Right.
You go to a Chinese restaurant and order curry go? No.
Exactly.
So for me, it's that
Chinese restaurant order curry. I'm going to get Chinese.
But I say that point to be, people will come and influence and try to influence how your business model, for one, and your approach. Right? They're mm-hmm. thinking they know best. So now you're taking advice from someone that is not in the same predicament. Exactly. You are not standing in the same shoes.
And you expect them to give you encouragement.
And you expect them to give you encouragement. No, it's not. So, therefore, you have to be your own person. You have to decide, you know what? This is the model I have for myself. Win or lose, this is my model.
Right.
This
right.
is what I'm pushing.
Right. Because you know your system.
You know your system.
That's the truth.
And then not only that, but 9 out of 10 times, we know what we're not doing
right
to make it as successful as it needs to be.
Right.
One of the things that we weren't doing, we were relying, initially when we started up, we're relying solely on promoting on social media.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's several different platforms to promote on,
right,
including the old method. Print you a flyer and go
pass it out. Let me tell you something. That is one of the biggest things that people fail to do in public relations. They fail to go out and let the public know, hey, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is me. This is what I got going on. Because they so used to people who stand on the corners and
stand in the corner,
pass out their mixtapes. They think, oh, that's cliche. No, mm-hmm. It still works.
Right. Now, there's certain things as an artist, I wouldn't do. And I say that boldly because of the amount of work and effort
I
put
in.
And not only that, but
you get to that point.
But the stride I made, right?
Stride
I made. So yeah, I may bypass a few steps compared to other artists, but it's not to say what you're doing is not the right thing.
Right.
You gotta have your own strategy. That don't mean you can't take advice and so on. But the type of advice I don't really take is when someone said, bro, you need to do this instead of doing this.
Right.
Like I'm standing at the club. We just started up Friday nights recently, right? And the buildup of the club, the crowd, is usually the toughest part.
Ooh, that's the toughest part.
So people come up to the door. The person at the door is sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
But you could see inside, right? So they walk up and they go, I ain't nobody here. It's only 3 people in there.
Right.
And they turn back. And here comes the next group of 5 people coming up. Now they turn back. So, but before midnight, we already had over almost 100 people to turn back because they say there's nobody there.
Right.
So, simple adjustment.
So, you need a crowd pleaser.
No. I changed the entrance.
Ah.
So, they can't no longer.
Yeah. That's a psychology thing. Yeah. Business psychology is something serious. Yeah.
But you got to be on point, though.
Because guess what?
You got to be on point.
The fact that is hidden, because I've noticed that, too. Usually they went through the other side. but I'm saying, from being there, I know how that crowd gets.
Right.
But the fact that simple change happened, you know, hey, I'm not going to let you see this side. I want you to come in through this side.
Come
they
in.
Don't know and what they're coming into.
You know, here's the thing. It's just like you approaching a girl. As a person, you know what you got to offer.
Right.
She doesn't know that.
Right, exactly.
So you just going up on face value will deter you from even pursuing something else further, right?
Exactly.
So it's like, okay, well, I want you to come in and give it a fair opinion of what you think the vibe is like, right? Before you decide based on what you're seeing physically.
Mm-hmm.
So we move the entrance. So now when you come in, you go, oh, there ain't nobody here. But guess what? You just paid. You're not going to walk back out and be like, hey, can I get my money back?
That's
you're not going to get your money back, right?
That's the truth.
So now you feel a little bit more obligated to stick around. So by the time 11 o'clock comes around, now
up.
I have 50 people in there.
Yeah,
the same 50 people that would have walked away.
It swells up.
And I want to say this just to elaborate on what Damien is saying, because that's a great analogy right there. To all the business owners out there, especially startup businesses, don't be afraid to make those necessary adjustments.
Yeah.
Because most of the time it is for the best.
This is for the best.
You could literally like picture if he had been afraid, like, oh man, we just not seeing the crowd that we need, but they kept the system the same. Picture your business would have never turned out the same way.
No,
but you made that necessary
system
adjustment.
That was in place wasn't working.
And it
was
working. And
a system.
Yeah, system.
And the thing is, and another thing I want to say is I want to give you credit for his observation, for him to even notice that changes need to be made.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's how it is as a small business owner. We are our own analysts.
I'm not sure how familiar you guys with lean manufacturing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But lean manufacturing promote continuous improvements. You never should be satisfied with where you're at.
Right.
You should always look for opportunities within your business to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you set yourself a goal, a monthly goal or daily goal, whatever goal that is, and you're meeting those goals. If you're meeting those goals so easily, that means you're not challenging yourself at all.
Exactly.
That's the truth.
You're not challenging yourself. Exactly. So give yourself more to reach for.
Man, Damien, you giving us new subjects in here. The next one might have to be on challenges.
I told you he's very intelligent.
And I wanna give my partner Khadija, I gotta give her flowers just for a minute because she has changed my personal outlook on a lot of things when it comes to business. Because Damien, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Like me personally starting out, I was one of those guys, I took it just day by day. You know, I just thought it was all about if the merchandise is selling, the business is doing great. She put it in perspective for me, and you did as well. That's why I'm glad to have you here. You have to set goals, and it's like you said, if you are accomplishing them too easily, I don't even consider that a goal. That's just something that can be done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you set the standard high, they say.
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't have to be something out of your means, but mm-hmm. it just gives you something to fight for. And she has changed my outlook, so I got to give you credit for that, Khadija. That's a business woman, organized.
That's so key, bro, because a lot of people get complacent, man, when it comes to business. It's not about expansion.
It's not about always.
It's not about...
Eventually, you have to expand, eventually.
Eventually, but what I'm saying
is... You'll grow out of them shoes.
What I'm saying is your business will dictate that, not you.
Right.
Your business will dictate that.
That's a fact.
But what you could do in the meantime is focus on branding and your growth.
Yes,
right. Retention. I'm gonna keep that word as a keyword during this talk because retention is so important.
It is.
Because what does it value you to gain new customers if none of your old ones shows back up?
Exactly.
What's gonna happen? They're gonna do the same thing. They eat, but what I put on you now is extra stress.
Right.
Now you're gonna have to constantly focusing on finding new clients, right? No, you set up your business where you're retaining your faithfuls, right?
They keep coming
and
back.
And you're still trying to gain new.
Exactly.
Let me tell you another psychology thing, a business psychology thing. The fact that the people that keep coming back over and over again, the more they post it, the more people that they know are going to catch on. And that's why you got to take so good care of the people who already pay close attention to your business. Because those are the ones who are going to be your word of mouth.
Right.
And the other people will just turn into constant customers.
And that's why it's so important on retention. Because retention comes from the type of service, the quality of service, and whatever they get. That's what makes them want to come back.
That's the truth.
And those are the people that becomes your greatest advocate.
Right.
Because they're going to be the ones out there speaking good on your name. Right?
Yeah, and people.
I'm going to tell you a perfect example, right? Mm-hmm. Reach is important.
Mm-hmm.
Where your reach at, how your thing is doing.
Right.
How do you check the market to know if what you're promoting or trying to accomplish is working, right?
Right.
Watch this. I did a private party with CMG artist, Big Boogie, right? So during that event, I had probably about 100 people to message. Mm-hmm. And asked for location and details regarding the event.
Right.
So what I did was I was like, okay, this is a promotional opportunity, like I told you guys. So I took everyone in that contact list and I started sending the flyers to this phone party I got coming up on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which we're going to talk about later.
Right.
So by doing that, I sent it out and here comes this guy taking a picture of his ticket and say, I already got my tickets. What does that tell me? Yeah. My promotional reach is reaching.
Because this is
a person that I don't know. You know what I mean?
That's the truth.
I'm not even sure if they even came to that event.
Right.
So for me, that was like, cool. I got to fix this back. I messed it up. There you go. You know? So for me, important. It makes me, it tells me that the reach is there.
Yes, sir.
As long as you keep pressing forward, the reach is going to come. The thing that a lot of business owners forget too as well, they get so down on themselves so fast that they forget about continue to press forward.
Yes.
The more you put it out there and the way you put it out there is how your reach is going to continue to develop.
Yes.
It's just a lot of people don't believe in development. Remember we were talking about that yesterday, they only follow popularity.
Absolutely.
You got to build your popularity.
And that's so true. And I'm gonna build on that, right? One thing that is not a culture in the city is supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because there's promoters and club owners, restaurant owners that don't really go and support every business.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Me personally, I had a talk with my team, and I said, look, once a month, we want to go to a club and go turn them up. We'll set a budget for it. Mm. We'll get a booth.
That makes a lot of
we'll
sense.
We'll go over there. We'll pay our entry. We're not even going to call you at the door to come meet us at the door.
Too, like he said.
I'm taking that advice.
We're not even going to call you to come meet us at the door.
Mm-hmm.
We're setting our own budget. This is us saying, look, I appreciate what you're doing. I'm going to come support you.
Right.
For example, my brothers from another mother, they're doing Afro night at Spades on Tuesdays.
That's dope.
And I said, you know what? Let's go support them. That's the same culture we're trying to build.
Right.
The more people to do it, is the more awareness spreads.
Exactly.
So let's go support them, because everyone is visual. They don't see nobody there. It's not popping. They won't go back. You get me?
Yeah.
So let's go support them. Let's go support them and turn them up.
And you
when
know
I got something coming up, I expect that support. Right.
Exactly. That's what I was about. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because like Damien said, beyond the whole, because like that whole supporting popularity thing, the thing is, it's just the support system that we have here in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said,
it's all about system.
Him and his team could have easily saw those guys, you know, doing they kind of in the same field, and y'all could have, you know, like they call it throwing shade at them guys or tried to stay as far away from those guys if y'all possibly could. But you guys
together. That's called insecurity, man.
Right, exactly. But you decided. Yeah. Why not team up with these guys and let's make the movement even bigger?
And it's not even about team up. We don't have to collab. I'm literally drinking up this bottle of wine.
Drink the whole thing.
That's what it is.
Drink the whole thing. Let me tell you something.
It's not even about collab. Don't look at it as collab. It's about supporting.
Yeah.
For me, it's more important. All right. When you go into a lot of different states, so the Jamaican culture is different. The way we were brought up is different, mm-hmm. right? For example, in my hometown, if you had an event coming up and you already got a date, your flyers out, I would not put an event on your date.
Right.
Hmm. I would not compete with your date.
A lot of people do that.
Memphis date. You know, you gotta.
So in Memphis is different.
Man,
right?
Even
coming up to this phone party, I have to be strategic with my phone party. I had to look at, okay, I don't want to compete on the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis Givens got his stuff coming up.
He definitely do.
I don't want to compete. So I need to find a date that I'm not competing.
And I just say, give your event the most potential.
If you're
foolish enough to plan an event and you know there's 5 other events going on that same day, I mean, you're taking away from your own pockets. You're taking away from your own crowd. You're taking away from your own success.
Exactly.
At that point.
You're putting yourself at risk.
Right.
You're taking a chance.
You know, and
where you don't have to.
Right. And despite, because sometimes people can get arrogant with it. They may feel like, because they may feel that their name may be bigger than the other event. But it's like you're still putting yourself at risk, like you said.
And watch this, bro. Me, when I go out in the city, you see me with a small group of people.
Right.
You will never see me with a 50 deep entourage.
Right.
I just came here by myself, pull up here by myself today.
Big fact.
Right? Because at the end of the day, I'm still human. What makes me different from any of you?
Right.
From anyone out there? Nothing. Nothing. Well, I'm pursuing a career in music and business management. You pursuing a career in what? Whatever you're doing.
Right.
The only thing I'm big on is loyalty.
Yes, sir.
Now, for me, it's hard. And I've been working on this. Thank you, Jesus. I've been working on this. But I've been working on allowing people that was there during my struggle that didn't stay there to come back around.
Right.
Right? And the reason why I struggle with it is because I feel like, and there's different reason. This is why I'm starting to like be a little bit more open to it. But I took that as a slap in the face. I'm trying to build something. I wanted you here with me to be a part of what I'm building.
Right.
Midway through it, you decide this is not beneficial at all. This looks like it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decided I don't no longer want to be a part of it.
Right.
Then a year later, you're like, oh shit, this is the same shit I could have been a part of.
Exactly.
Now I'm not. So now I'm on here. I'm standing outside, knocking on the door like, bro, let me in, let me in.
You saw something that person didn't see or couldn't see.
But do you hold that against them?
That's a very good question.
Do you hold that against them?
You don't. Everybody don't have your
man. Man, that is a I don't know. He got me stumped on that one. Mine too. I don't even know if it's gonna post my live because mine died like in the middle of my life. That's crazy for you to say that. I'm trying to think about that. I'm gonna have to come back to that. He said, "Do you hold a person accountable that in the beginning phases when they could have been a part of your vision, they didn't see it the way you saw it, and they just
Everybody don't see your vision. It's simple. Right. Everybody is not supposed to be a part of what your success.
But now they're trying to come back.
No, that's the part I'm talking about. That's the part I'm talking about. Not necessarily them not seeing it, but it's like once it becomes something, now they want to be a part of it.
Yeah,
that part is what I'm talking about. I would hold them accountable for that.
Why would you want them there?
I wouldn't. But then again,
because it don't matter if they add the same value as you, they add some value. Everyone comes with a value.
Everybody comes with a value. Let me tell you something. Everybody comes with a value, but does that value outweighs the negativity that they will bring? That's how you're going to figure out if they should be there or not.
For me, it's just...
Because listen, people like that, and I can tell you from experience, and I'm sure you can tell me from experience. People like that come with envious issues, come with jealousy issues.
Big fact.
And come because the simple fact that they didn't believe in you at first. So from a psychology standpoint, to be honest, that not believing you is going to coil you into, well, why couldn't I have done this?
Exactly.
Or must think they're better than me now that they achieved without me being there. Because that insecurity is what turns into jealousy and envious.
And that's stuff. True. That's
so they true. Add value, but eventually they're gonna turn.
They're gonna be on the undermine.
They're gonna still try to undermine you because at first they thought they were bigger than you. It's just like that.
And that's crazy because I'm, bro. When I tell you my heart is big. My heart is so big.
It's very big.
It's huge.
He has a big heart.
It has been one of my weaknesses for years.
I can relate.
Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, you know, always giving a person a chance.
But then again, you gotta understand your culture. Your culture, Damien. You're from Jamaica. That's a loving.
It is a loving culture.
Especially when you meet new people. That's a loving culture.
People
will mistake your flirting for just talking.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you're just talking, but they think that you're
really
into them. And that's really not what it is, but that's just the Jamaican culture. If you're now in a restaurant.
And not even just the culture. I feel like my personality itself is like that. I'm very warm and welcoming. And people see me out. It's crazy because, I'm going to tell you, this is so funny. So I sent someone the flyer, right, for this event coming up Sunday. And they were like, I was like, hey, you're going to book it. They were at the previous foam party we did. They came. So this person responded and said, is there going to be more than foam and mosquitoes this time?
Oh, man. Boy,
oh, wow. I can say.
They care about you, though.
I really started laughing. I actually laughed hard.
You should put mosquito spray in that foam.
So then I was like, no, this time we have a new venue. It's a better venue. So we're offering a better visual aspect.
You coming with your full suit on?
You said Sunday?
Sunday.
And it's at
Carolina Watershed.
You going
downtown Memphis.
Yeah, I'm going. You going with your suit on?
Huh? I can't do it. It's
some shorts.
Now she like to make jokes.
That's my boy. I love that. I'll tell you.
But I found it real funny that she said that. I found it even more funnier when I was like, now trying to show her what we offered, right? And then I was like, oh, and by the way, Big Boogie and Damien Hype will be there. And she's like, I'm not a fan of either, but I'll be there.
Oh, but she loves you, though. Hey, She loves it.
Well, I want to ask the two of y'all something. Like, it's kind of off subject, but on subject too, because this is something I deal with.
Yeah.
When it comes to, let's just say, not just family. Let's not just do family. Let's say family, friends, associates, whatever they may be. Those what we call the hard nose to give in business, you got family members wanna, come and get down with what you got going on. Friends want to be a part of it. We're gonna be gentlemen and let the lady answer first. But Khadija,
I just talked to him about something like that today.
It doesn't have to be specifically told, but those
it
hard.
It don't have to be, but yeah. I can tell you.
Is this something you deal with often?
Yeah, you know what? The thing is that people get support mixed up with love. The thing is, another thing from a mental health and psychology level, you got to understand that people who you love are on completely different levels than a business level from you. So when you say certain stuff to them on a business level, it comes off as you're being mean to them,
right?
That you don't love them, that you don't understand what they're trying to do, that you don't respect them. Then again, the way that they respond to you, it could be disrespectful to you because you've been in the industry.
Exactly.
You've been working hard. You've been doing this. You've been doing
that. You did
that.
Your part.
So when they coming off at you that you don't know what you're talking about and then you respond to them, it could really destroy a whole relationship between you and somebody that you mm-hmm. love. You see what I'm saying? So what a lot of people don't understand is the hard work, the blood, sweat, and tears, and the passion that you put into your brand and what you're doing. And when they don't understand that, then and you try
or respect it.
Or respect right. it. And you come at them. Think is this. You don't even come at them as hard as somebody else in the industry would do because you love mm-hmm. them. But when you come to them with just a little bit of what the industry may give them and they flop off, it kind of hurts you as well because you like, why are you giving up? I'm giving it to you easy. I'm not giving it to you hard.
Right, exactly.
I'm giving it to you in the way that I'm showing you that I love.
Here's your whole life.
Now yeah. you're asking them to see you in a different light.
Oh,
out of nowhere.
Yes.
You get me? Man,
that, yes.
That so you can't be too hard on them.
Really
you right. gotta give them time to adjust as right. well.
Right.
Like, I feel like we owe it to our family and our friends to prove that we're serious about what we're doing. And
right.
we're committed
but
Damien,
but talk about the time when you have proved that to them, that you're serious about.
No, I have. But you
what
know what?
Doing.
I've gotten to the point where I don't rely on family and friends.
Right.
To get me where I need to be.
Right.
Because guess what?
The other thing.
I always look at my family and friends will benefit from where I go.
What exactly. you're doing. But we're talking about, me? Say for instance, okay? You are this big time Jamaican dance hall international artist, mm-hmm. correct? Your relative come to you and say, hey, I want to be an international artist.
Right.
Right.
But we're talking about this from a face value.
No, we're talking about this from
when I say face value, meaning
business.
But I'm talking about family at yeah. this point. So family, we're going on, we're seeing them.
Family
we're
and close, them, close,
and close friends.
Right, let's do this. Let's
so,
do this.
Wait, this is what I was saying. Mm-hmm. Because if we're talking it from a face value, right? And I'm going to go back to when I first started doing my music.
Right, right.
And I would post, right, clips mm-hmm. of the song, right? And who would share it, who would comment, who would like,
right?
Right. And personally, I can tell you this, since transitioning to becoming a full-time artist and focusing on this as itself, I've seen not only my likes. If I focus on social media, I would have quit everything
man,
that I'm doing
big
right
facts.
Now.
Let that be known
because
to the people
everything
out there listening.
That I attempted to do, I started
some of the
seeing
best people that's going to help you are not on social
right.
media.
Deteriorate.
Right.
Deteriorate, right? People from my hometown, back home, I don't see them liking, sharing, do none of that.
That's
right?
very depressive
and,
as well.
And at one point, I used to let that kind of like sit on my mind, right? You know when it stopped?
When
I went home.
Right.
And saw the reception that I got.
Exactly.
They
mean they saw it.
They saw it. Yeah.
Which is more important. It's the exactly. awareness is more important.
The awareness
the
is.
The interaction.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you interact with me. Right? As long as you know what I got going on.
Exactly.
You
yes,
get
sir.
Me? And sometimes we put too much pressure on family, on friends.
Man, I'm
saying you guys
so
don't
do
you, support you, don't support.
No, but
we're not.
You are right about that, putting too much family on.
For sure, I said this on live the other day.
Yeah, we put too much. That's not their job. But what we're saying is when they come to you and they want to do what you're doing and you try to come off to them and let them know, hey, this is what it really is. This is how you have to operate. But they take offense to that part. That's what we're trying to get at.
Of course. And think about it. When you go into business, you go into business with a mind of your own.
Exactly.
Right.
So here you go, someone trying to influence your thoughts. Now, of course, it's not going to be received positively.
Right.
I'm not going to take everything you, even if
right.
I don't do it right in front of you, I might go home later and I might replay that conversation and be like, well, this actually makes sense.
Right. Like,
this makes sense. I
right.
take what I want. I might not take it out in front of you.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I might go back home and be like, That made sense.
Right.
But I'm taking
yeah.
bits and pieces from it.
Uh-huh.
Me and my friend, I just call his name, Juan Swag.
Right.
We had a big argument. It wasn't even an argument, but we started getting loud with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was simple. I was in Nashville, and I decided I'm going to spend a few days in Nashville. So I got me a room there, and I just wanted a day to just, like, a couple of days to free my mind. So I was ignoring all business calls, all of that. I just wanted to relax.
Yes, sir.
You get me? I went to Nashville Shores. I did the little tree climb gig by myself. I'm talking about the whole day, mm-hmm. burning the hell up, zip lining and all of that. And I did that just for peace of mind.
Yes, sir.
While we were there, I had to get on an interview. Not an interview, but it was more like, what's it called? Rhodes, I don't remember, Ross College, something like that. It's a college in Mississippi.
Oh, Rhodes College.
Rhodes College in Mississippi.
Rust is in Mississippi.
Okay. Rust College in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. I had to attend a class. Like, there's a musical class there.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's not. It was just a musical class. It was just the whole aspect. And I was invited to be a guest during that class, mm-hmm. right? Artist. It's the title was The Journey Behind the Mic. Mm-hmm. It was a Zoom meeting. It was a Zoom thing. So my own boy called me. I called. We on the phone. He's like, "Yo, did you get a haircut? Did you get a line or something?" I was like, "Nah, I didn't get it, you know." And he's like, "Bro, when you go into stuff like this, you need to make sure you're right. You get me?" It's like, you know, and immediately I shot off and I was like, "Bro, my image is my image. Whatever my image is my image. It's right. Either you like it or you don't like it. Right. That's my image." So, but I think I immediately went on the defense because I figured he was telling me, he was trying to tell me, "Hey, I saw you today, didn't like how you look.
And you look terrible." And that's really not what it was.
You get what I'm saying?
Yes, that's exactly what it was,
but it's how I took it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I went and I said, "Bro, you know what it is, bro? I feel like, you know, you're a close friend and you're still struggling to see me in this image. You're still struggling to see this Damien hype. Oh. So that's why you're coming off the way you're coming off."
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're telling me to be corporately acceptable going into certain situations.
Right.
And that's not me. At this point, I was like, I'm at a point, and this is like loud conversation. Like, I had to come out of the hotel and everything to have this conversation.
Right.
And I'm like, at this point, I'm me. I'm doing what I want and whatever. And if you don't like it, just don't like it.
Big flex.
And he was like, "That's not what I'm saying, bro."
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, when we both calmed down, he's like, "Well, what you gonna wear?" I was like, "Bro, I brought a. I knew there was a possibility that I was gonna do it, so I brought a button-up shirt. I got my jewelry with me, and I got my hair grease." He says, "Bro, that's all I was asking you in the beginning."
But you know, the pressures from just being an entrepreneur anyway—it's a lot of pressures that we don't see. It's a lot of pressure. It comes out. Your passion.
Oh, yeah. It would jump out.
Because I know me, I done had to do some apologizing afterwards.
I know.
The passion Listen, speaks.
That passion will turn you up. But anyway, but from today's episode, guys, what we really just wanted to tune in and what we wanted to talk about was the mental health of the entrepreneur and how we really react to certain situations and how we operate as entrepreneurs in different areas. So we're going to go ahead and get ready and wrap this show up. We want to thank Damien Hype for coming to our show today.
Yeah, man. Yo, this show was lit, though. I actually wouldn't mind being invited back when I could.
Man, you're more than welcome.
Not on a time schedule. Anytime.
Yeah, we have plenty. We have our own schedule.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be on a time schedule where I got to rush out or nothing like that.
Oh, no. All you got to do is just pick when
Does
you want to
Does he know about Saturday, the open discussions?
Yeah, we have Saturday. We have open discussions on Saturday because we have a great
I definitely like this. And I feel like
yeah,
I would, my life was really tuned in there. With
yeah.
Man, I got to give it to you, man. You're a very intellectual guy. And it's like you seem like you're very passionate about what you do.
Oh, yes.
And the story behind your success is simply because you believe in yourself.
Simple, bro.
And people don't understand. They make it like it's so complicated. When you believe in what you're doing, you'll be surprised where it takes you.
And that's crazy you say that because we just talk about the class I had to do with Rust College, right? And now they have invited me to perform in
for their homecoming.
Yeah.
Big flicks.
So
that's pretty dope.
You know what I'm saying? They were like, "Oh man, he was so real. He was so open." Because the business is simple, man. It's like, I feel like the world's big. I think if everybody decides to pick a profession and stick with it, whether you want to, you know what my grandma told me? my grandma told me, she said, every job is valuable.
Right.
Every single job, whether you're a janitor,
that's a fact.
A yardman, it's needed.
It's a fact.
That job, that position is needed for a reason.
It is.
You get me? So no matter what you're doing, if you decide tomorrow you want to start a cleaning service, go open a cleaning service. Do your research. Make sure you know what you're getting into. Make sure you see the value in it. Can it support the type of lifestyle that you're trying to live?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Because a lot of people going into low income in business and decide, and they want to live a luxury lifestyle that doesn't match with the type of business. Then they say the business is failing. This business is not fail. You're taking more than you need to take out of the business.
And living outside of your means.
Well, Damien, you are so.
Because this could go on forever. I'm talking about, we did allow, we do the last remarks and all that. Like, yeah. Just send a shout. Anything
so that
you
was
say,
my last one.
No, wait. We are not letting Damien leave here. This is what he's going to say to the people.
Yeah.
You got to listen to Baby Boo. I wish it was Go Fight Them. Go for them. That's one of my favorite songs
because
I'm a little hood.
But
we're going to go ahead and listen to Baby Boo. Baby Boo.
Let's do it.
And we're going to shut this thing down. And I'm going to let Damien go ahead and let y'all listen to his
new single
with 10K views.
Shout out to the 10K views.
Shout out. Yes,
and she could have pulled up the one with 11K. Right. Too, but that's another thing.
That's okay.
Damien's so fun. He's very talented.
Jabel.
Super dope.
I said, Babuki, Babuki, is it okay if I beat it up? If I make you, is it okay if you come? Is it okay if your friend join? Is it okay if you taste it? Is it okay if I treat it? Tonight we're not.
We just.
Turn back way at your skirt, Millie. Up in at your belly, my cocky girl. Feel like a virgin when never been. Girl, you were so right. Never did I lie. When you tell me, set your own, it was so tight. And I be. What I'm saying? If I give you my money, would you give your love to me? If I give you my money, would you give your love to me? Would you be
my baby boo?
Girl, I want you to be
that
my...
gonna be a superstar. I'm saying, hey, what's the name of that song right there?
Baby Boo, yeah.
Man, I gotta, I'm gonna get Khadija to show me where it is so I can get. Man, I need that song.
Yeah,
man, bro, listen,
check out my YouTube, Spotify account, iTunes, Apple Music. I'm on all platforms.
Man, support this guy right here, man.
Support
this dude before it's too late.
I'm gonna tell you one thing, girl. I don't get along with a lot of people.
We know
for sure. But one thing, man, I've never really heard nothing negative about my music.
Listen,
girl.
Man,
I've always had like really good feedbacks on where it's at and where it could go.
Yes, sir.
You know, the most I hear, hey, man, your newer stuff sounded better than when you just started, of course.
Whatever that's, and I'm gonna look into some more. But that right there, that was my first time hearing this guy. This dude is gonna be a superstar. Like seriously.
Oh yeah, that.
All right, y'all. Okay, man. Shabba. All
yes,
that good
so.
Stuff. Bubba Clyde, man. We are about to go ready, get ready, and end the Conversations with Yvonne blogging podcast bonus episode. Again, we open Saturday.
Come
hang out with us if you can. Pop a few bottles of champagne. We are going to have a great time.
Bring some bottles.
The official opening of Conversations with Yvonne blogging podcast studio. We want to thank our guest, Damien Hype, who is also hosting a phone party, who will be performing, as well as Boog Lots, who will be there.
Yes, Lord.
Big Boogie. Boogie. Call him on the right name, man, but Big John. Lot. John Lot, but I went to school with I went to school with Andre Sutherland, too. I still call him Popcorn.
It's so hard. Okay. Big Boogie
there we go.
Will be hosting a phone party with Damien Hype this weekend at what? Carolina Watershed.
Authentic Jamaican food will be served. Everything will be there.
Yes, and Conversations with Yvonne will be in the building.
Big
so
thanks.
Make sure y'all pull up, no push up to hang out with Damien Heist and Big Boogie. I'm Khadija Yvonne.
I am Thad the Watchman.
And thank you for tuning in to Conversations with Yvonne. We cannot wait to see you again. Have a great day, y'all.
You know, it's crazy. My